by the Coca-Cola Bottling Company. Are you ready to be refreshed? Then let her go. The refreshment club will come to order for the roll call. Please answer your name. Clark Dennis.
Here. Yeah.
Helen Jane Belkey.
That's right.
Joan of the Escort.
Here. Yeah.
Walter Bluffett.
Present.
The Refreshment Club Orchestra.
Here. Yeah.
And Don McKeel.
Hello.
Then we're all set to go. The meeting is yours, Don.
Now let's all go through our little daily ritual together. All right. Get the glasses. Drop in the ice. Open the bottle. Pour out the Coca-Cola. And now refresh yourself. Ah, good old nice cold Coca-Cola. All right, it's first call for refreshment by Walter Blaufuss and Refreshmenteers. Hallelujah, things look rosy now. Certainly do look rosy today, don't they, boys?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Eddie Valentine's face was rosy when he hit that high one just now. Jack, our guitar player, looks rosy. That's his name. But things are certainly rosy over in the timpani section there. Rosy in every other color. Good old Ralph Smith. He made a little mistake today. He's wearing a bedspread instead of his shirt. As far as Clark Dennis is concerned, Clark wears nothing but tailor-made suits. That is the same style as Robert Taylor wears. How are you today, Clark?
That shirt of Ralph's looks like a tablecloth to me.
Huh? It does that. You'll never have to worry about eating eggs, will you?
No, I guess not.
No, an egg would never be noticed there. How do you feel today, Clark?
Well, I feel pretty good, but I'm sort of fighting off the cold I think I feel coming on.
Well, hold that line, Clark, will you, and fight?
Yeah, sure will.
We don't want you to have a cold here, goodness sake. Well, as long as you're happy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Well, sir, you know, contentment doesn't cost very much, Clark. That's one thing that doesn't cost much. I mean, if you learn to like what doesn't cost much. You can learn to like all trees and fields and words and brooks and fishing, hiking, rowing. Doesn't cost very much. If you like to read or like to converse, like music, that doesn't cost much. If you like gardening or puttering around the house, the lawn, the automobile, certainly doesn't cost much. Or if you just like to listen to the birds sing, like to look at the trees, like to walk, like the sunrise and the sunset, or the rain on the roof, or the fall of snow. If you learn to like your work or like your job, it doesn't cost a cent. If you like plain food or plain cooking, it doesn't cost nearly as much as the other way. If you just learn to like people, if you learn to keep your wants simple, why, you'll usually find contentment. Don't you think so?
I believe you're right.
Well, you've got a song here today that sort of fits in that groove. By the Bend in the River.
The cold and moonlight, the glow, my thoughts returning to home, and with their wings. my heart is singing a song all its own by the bend of the river where rushes are growing and waters are flowing far down to the sea. On a soft, balmy June night, in the shimmering moonlight, I know that my own true love is waiting for me. In the cool of the evening, when shadows are falling, I can hear my love calling. Oh, softly to summer weather, we'll drift down together, my true love with me.
Now, Walter and all the boys have one called My Red Letter Day. You know, My Red Letter Day is every day, thanks to you listeners. Because I want you to know that it doesn't matter what color stationery you write to us on, all your letters are red, every day, thanks to you. My Red Letter Day. All right, Joan and the Escorts, our Monday guests, are going to tell you what happens to them now that summer is gone. Now that summer is gone, I've just learned what those little bugs are that pass their screen test and get in the house, you know. They're the gnats. Now.
Who is the baby gonna play with? Who will the baby have a way with? Who is the baby gonna see all the winter now that summer is gone? Who is the baby gonna get with? Who is the baby gonna pet with? Where is the baby gonna see all the winter now that summer is gone?
I liked you on the tennis court. Or was your golf the reason? But now it's time for indoor sports.
I'm afraid you'll be out of season.
Tell me, who is the baby gonna swing to now? Who is the baby gonna cling to now? Who is the baby gonna love all winter now that summer is gone?
Summer is gone, and I know just what I'm gonna do each day. Half the time away.
I suppose you'll be at home in your room just knitting. I can picture you there knitting and knitting. How about the boyfriend?
There'll be none.
Ha ha ha, now we'll tell one old dark confessing.
I won't keep you guessing. Now that summer is gone,
what you gonna do? Who is my baby gonna play with? Tell me now, who is my baby have a way with?
Who is my baby gonna sing all winter?
Now that summer is gone, you sing. Now tell me, who you gonna get with? Tell me, who you gonna catch with?
Where is my baby gonna be all winter?
Now that summer is gone.
I like you on the tennis court.
But my golf arena.
Why, no. But now it's time for indoor sports.
Will I be out of season?
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Fred and Tom and Dick and Joe.
Oh, honey, quit speaking. Tell me what's the reason. Is it because I'm out of season?
Well, you're out of season.
So that's the reason.
Seeing how the summer's gone away.
Yes, indeed. I was going to do a one-man, one-act play today, but Elmer kindly offered to assist me, so today it's going to be a two-man, two-act play. Bill, please. Twice as bad as before, thank you. Scene one, a doctor's office. The patient enters.
Doctor, I tell you, I'm in a terrible shape.
Yes, I can see that, sir. You're wasting away to a ton. What's your trouble?
Oh, it's me girl.
Your girl, indeed.
Yeah, she disregards me at every opportunity, Doctor. And it's getting me down.
Yes.
I can't eat more than three meals a day.
Yes.
Me complexion is sallow.
Yes.
I don't sleep over 15 hours a night.
Yes.
And I'm so nervous that when a cannon went off in back of me yesterday, I almost turned around.
Oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. My good man, what you need is mud baths.
Mud baths? I take a bath to get the mud off of me.
No. Mud baths are just the thing. They make you forget that you ever were in love.
Okay, Doc. Mud bath it is. I start tomorrow.
Scene two. We find the patient in the mud bath.
Ah, what a life. Here I sit in mud up to the neck. And all course me girl didn't care.
I say that, old fellow, you're taking a mud bath, aren't you?
What do you think? I don't look like I'm waiting for a streetcar, does it?
Oh, I'm very much interested in persons who take mud baths, really. Could you tell me why you're taking them?
Yeah, me girl turned me down. So the doc says take mud bath.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in the mud for love.
I'm in the mud for love.
Right here now, I want to ask our recording secretary, Bob Denton, a question. Now, Bob, answer this truthfully. How many times have you heard a man say to his wife, "Honey, there's nothing to housework. Why, I could clean it all up in a jiffy."
Not me, Don.
Huh?
You haven't heard me say that. But, confidentially, I used to say it. That is, until I had to stay home a week. I found that housework called for 1,001 things every day.
Oh, then you believe the old proverb, man works from sun to sun, but woman's work is never done, huh?
Yes, indeed, Don. A woman who runs a home goes up and down, in and out, round and round. Why, somebody has figured out that she walks 4 miles a day just in doing housework. Of course she gets tired. That's why so many women welcome the pause that refreshes with an ice cold bottle of Coca-Cola from the family refrigerator. It makes a little minute long enough for a big rest. and that makes housework easier. All right, Don?
All right, Helen, if you can remember back to last Friday, you mentioned something about your boyfriend, Johnny, you recall?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you went to a hockey game, and, well, how are things getting along?
Pretty terrible. I'm all through with him.
Are you?
That's right, Don.
Say, I don't know, maybe I didn't see right or something, but last night I was walking along the street, and there's a church at the corner right up here, Elm, you know?
Yeah.
And I could have sworn I saw you. There was some girl at least running as fast as she could away from that church.
You're right, Don. I was the girl.
What? Were you really? Well, what was that? What happened?
Well, Johnny and I were just out taking a walk. Huh? And we went by the church, and he said, "Have you seen the new altar in the church?" And I laughingly said, "No, lead me to it." And that's what he started to do.
Oh, I get it. I see. Things aren't going along so well, Lana.
No.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, there's frost on the romance, huh?
That's right.
Almost sure. Leads into this tune, which is "There's Frost on the Moon," a very, very quiet little number.
There's frost on the moon and snow on the ground, but with you around, there's spring in my heart. Don't need my raccoon, 'cause everything's fine, just as long as you're mine, there's spring in my heart. Now I know why I'm merry and humming love's old tune. Why, even January, honey, it feels like June. There's frost on the moon, but what do I care? I don't know it's there. There's spring in my heart. Now I know why I'm merry and humming love's old tune. Why, even January, honey, it feels like June. There's frost on the moon, oh, what do I care? I don't know it's there. There's spring in my heart.
Nice, quiet little tune. Well, now it's memory time on the Refreshment Club. Let's refresh our memories on Wings of Song. Song. As you listen to a peaceful melody like this sometimes, and think of your friends who've left this life behind, have you ever felt like this? Sometime at eve, when the tide is low, I shall slip my moorings and sail away, with no response to the friendly hail of kindred craft in the busy bay. In the silent hush of the twilight pale, when the night stoops down to embrace the day, and the voices call and the waters flow, sometime at eve when the tide is low, I shall slip my moorings and sail away. Through purple shadows, the darkly trail, or the ebbing light, the unknown sea, I shall fare me away with a dip of sail and a ripple of waters, to tell the tale of a lonely voyager sailing away to mystic isles, where at anchor lay the craft of those who have sailed before o'er the unknown sea to the unknown shore. A few who have watched me sail away will miss my craft from the busy bay, some friendly barks that were anchored near, some loving souls that my heart held dear, in silent sorrow will drop a tear. But I shall have peacefully furled my sail in moorings sheltered from storm and gale, and greeted the friends who have sailed before o'er the unknown sea to the unknown shore. In quite a different mood now, and we so often do try to change your mood abruptly on the Refreshment Club, because we feel that that's the way things go around your house, probably, or wherever you are, One minute you're a little sad, one minute you're a little depressed, next minute you're feeling swell. That's the way life should go, at least. If we can't have contrast, we can't have much of anything. And so we're going to have the Darkies' Jubilee, a sort of a little novelty number, by Walter Blaufuss and all the boys. In it, you will hear a snatch of an a cappella chorus featuring the entire group of boys. In it, you'll also hear a tap dance by Ralph Smith, former Hooper. And in it, you'll also hear a gag, which will be told by our dialectician, Bo Bremmel. He tells this one in back of the piano, so you might not hear it. I'll repeat it now in case you don't get it during the number. The gag is this. One time, says Bo Bremmel, our viola player in his dialect, says, one time I came back on a train from St. Louis. As the train pulled into Chicago, I said to the porter, I said, boy, do you think I need brushing off? The porter said, brother, I knows you need brushing off. I's broke. That's a very funny gag that Bremmel always tells. You might not get it because it's very tacit. All right, the Darkies' Jubilee. Darkies Jubilee. Very nice, too. All right, the Escorts are with us here, and they're going to do one of their swell little novelty numbers. And speaking of horses, because that's what the number is about, and because I've heard horses mentioned once or twice here by certain members of our orchestra, just in connection, of course, with the fact that some of these boys are great lovers of horse flesh. The only guy in the orchestra who admits that he's not a good judge of horse flesh is Chester Picarero. Chester says he's never eaten a bit of it. He doesn't know anything about it. But the other day at the racetrack, a very funny thing happened. There were two girls that work here on the switchboard, you know, a couple of telephone operators, and they went out there, decided to make a couple of little bets at the racetrack. And I don't know, that being telephone operators, switchboard girls, you'd think they might really do something out there, but they were very, very poor at making bets on the races. I don't know. They got their plugs mixed, as usual. But, boys, what I'd like to hear from you, escorts, is a little version of Mrs. Oster's horse, if you please.
A lady friend of Mrs. Astor weighs 300 pounds. She'd love to borrow the Astor horse so she can follow the hound. She phones the stable daily, and every time she tries, the groom in charge who loves the horse very politely replies, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today. Me lady, I can't understand why he won't eat a bloomin' nose. Mrs. Astor's horse is a very horse horse today. Me lady, there's tears in his eyes and there must be a frog in his throat. I walk the floor with him all night, he has my nerves a wreck. Mrs. Astor may not think it right, I'll wrap me sock around the horse's neck. If you were a horse, you'd believe me when I say, me lady, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today. Good day.
Now it seems that things weren't as smooth as might be. The groom and the horse just couldn't agree. The horse wouldn't eat because of goats in his stall, and really a fellow can't blame him at all. Mrs. Astor's friend phoned the groom each day, and this is what they had to say.
Oh, Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today. milady. It seems he's in love with a cute little mare next door. Now, I'm the horse's boss, and he's got to get my okay, milady, before he can marry that cute little mare next door. And what's more, milady, he's a very, very stubborn horse, which puts me in mind of the very old saying, the task of conveying a beast of burden in the general direction of a cloth containing awkward still is one of comparative ease. Oh, but the process of inducing the quadruped to participate in the contents thereof is often a matter of conjecture, and is only to be determined by the animal in question.
Well, what you mean to say is you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink.
Try tempting him with Brussels sprouts upon a silver pan.
Oh, he'll raise his hoof and he'll kick at me.
That's unbecoming to the blue blood plan.
But if you were me, you'd believe me when I say, me lady.
Mrs. Astor's horse is a very cross horse today. Good day.
Good, boys. Now it's last call for refreshment. Vote for Mr. Bluff, Mr. Rhythm. The Refreshment Club for today. Don't forget to be with us again tomorrow at this time to hear Helen Jane Belke, Clark Dennis, Bill Krenz at the piano, Bright Things of the Kiddies, and the Refreshment Club Orchestra under the direction of Walter Blaufuss. This is Don McNeil saying so long until then. Meanwhile, remember, whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you may be, when you think of refreshment, think of Coca-Cola. For Coca-Cola makes any pause the pause that refreshes. And ice-cold Coca-Cola is everywhere.